91.3 WLRN presents Topical Currents. Today we have a refreshing hour to talk about a live performance and dining mecca that's a self-proclaimed misfit in South Florida music circles. Good afternoon, Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman. For some 20 years, the Lunastar Cafe in North Miami has served up food and entertainment and been a haven for many favorite regional artists. There's a long list of luminaries over the years. Still, Lunastar Cafe is a bit of off the local radar, but also operates at substantially lower sound levels than most live music venues. Bless them. We'll visit with its owner and impresaria, Alexis Sandfield, in moments, and also have some provocative music interludes as well on today's program. Don't miss it. Topical Currents after the news. Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman, it's today's Topical Currents Monday edition. This hour is about a North Miami entertainment and dining space that's been sort of quietly holding performances of many genres for more than two decades. Bonnie, we have a hootenanny developing on our hands here.
It's
the Lunastar Cafe.
The Lunastar is the treasured venue of its Brooklyn-born owner, you'll never know from her accent, Alexis Sandfield. She started it as a throwback coffee house, and it still has that flavor. It's long been a showcase for the South Florida folk club and singer-songwriters.
There may be blues or jazz, perhaps some Irish tunes, frequent open jam sessions, and of course, open mics. And where are you, Fraser Crane? Alexis Sandfield says it sort of cheers on LSD.
Welcome, Alexis. That was a cute quote from, I believe it was the New Times.
Yes. Oh.
Welcome, Alexis Sandfield.
Thank you, Bonnie. I appreciate your time.
Well, we appreciate you being here. First of all, congratulations on 21 years. It's remarkable.
21 great years.
So you say it's a labor of love above all. So I want to go back to Brooklyn, if you don't mind, and your family life and how that led you to Lunastar or to that point in your life where you opened Lunastar in 1996.
That's difficult because I don't have, in Brooklyn, there was nothing that put me into that coffee house scenario.
What was in Brooklyn?
It was growing up in a very, you know, my father was very much into a lot of businesses, so he had restaurants and he had different, he was an entrepreneur. So I guess that I did get that from him, opening businesses. And this was my very first business.
Now, wait a minute. You're glossing over that your dad was once a circus owner.
Oh, yeah.
That's not so pedestrian.
Not so pedestrian. We had the circus here in Coconut Grove, actually. That's why I came down to Coconut Grove in 1971. So I was around that whole Coconut Grove thing for 1 year.
So tell us what that was like with the circus. I mean, you were with a circus.
Yeah. My father had entertainers that he had brought in from, I guess, other parts of Florida where
just like in
people
Peacock
came.
Park or something?
No, it was at the convention center.
Okay.
So I remember riding elephants as a child through the parking lot in the convention
Peter
center.
Peter would not like that.
1971, I believe, 1972. And then my dad failed that business and we went back to New York. And I was in Europe for 5 years from 1980 to 1986, 81 to 86. And then I came here and I opened the business in 96.
And what brought you back here?
My parents.
Okay, so what
elder.
Was your, excuse me?
They were elderly, getting older.
You mean just
up
to be
age.
With them?
Yeah.
Your mom is still at Lunastar, though.
She is. She helps me out. She's 82 years old and I bring her down every week, twice a week to help me out and hang out with her.
Well, let's talk about Lunastar. What was your vision?
What? Coffee house, music. I wanted to have music pretty much on a regular basis. I had started out with open mics, and then I went into having bringing musicians in on a regular basis. I really wanted just coffee, but that obviously doesn't pay the bills. So we went for beer and wine. So now I have a coffee house with a kick. and food.
Well, let's bring the musicians in. Speaking of musicians, Joe?
Well, we have Diane Ward, a singer-songwriter. She leads the Diane Ward Band. She's created five albums. Her latest is Beautiful Ways, and it's co-produced by her another guest here, Jack Shoddy.
And Jack Shoddy is an in-demand performing and recording artist, prolific producer, plays all guitars,
mandolin,
steel, dulcimer, and banjo. Welcome to you.
Thank you.
And welcome, Diane.
Hi, welcome.
Welcome. Come closer to the mic.
Hello.
Also with us is Matthew Sabatella. He's a singer. He's an instrumentalist. He plays the dulcimer, banjo, bass, mandolin, fiddle, and washboard. He leads the Rambling String Band. He sings songs and stories of people who made a country. Three albums, The Ballad of America. It's called Welcome, Matthew.
Thank you very much, Bonnie and Joseph and Alexis. A pleasure to be here.
So going back to Lunastar, you must have thought, you must have realized what a responsibility and a commitment it was going to be to open your own, owning and operating your own business, the hours, the financial aspect. Did you ever have any doubts about doing it?
No, I did it all on a credit card, actually.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, I did have doubts, but obviously, I struggled through, and I continue struggling through. Diane, you've been playing at the cafe now, what, 15?
Yeah, about
years,
15 years.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And I've known you, I mean, from the very beginning. I think I know you 21 years.
Yeah.
I met her at Borders when she was playing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always been at the same area?
Yeah,
same location.
Same location.
775 Northeast 125 Street.
Correct.
One thing I want to say about one of the impressive aspects. I love Lunastar. I mean, I can describe the culture. We'll get to that. But people are clearly there to listen to the music. I mean, there is no talking. There's no chatting while the music's being played. There's no clanging of dishes, plates, glasses.
You can't even burp.
Silverware.
We try not.
It's an unusual venue, though. I mean, one that serves food, that there is absolute attention. Everybody is there to listen.
We try our very best. I mean, I do shush people when we have musicians.
I thought that was against the law in Miami.
Apparently not at Lunastar Cafe, because we're a unique place and we're unlike any other place in Miami.
That's something that's very appreciated by all the performers.
It really
is. Something that's definitely one of the many things that makes it unique and special as a venue in South Florida.
And I think that's why a lot of musicians continue coming
back. Would you just repeat that, Matthew? Because
yes, I was just saying that's definitely one of the many things that makes the venue special and unique in South Florida, and why musicians love to play there, because they have an audience who's there to hear them and to sit and listen.
And so is that the main reason you choose Lunastar? How long have you been playing there, Matthew?
About 15 years or more. 16. It was kind of part of my transition from singer-songwriter to folky. So, yeah, it was the early 2000s, sometime 2002 or so.
Maybe earlier. But he started out as a single singer-songwriter at my cafe.
Yes. Well, that was after the rock band days that bring there. But, yeah, before the whole Rambling String Band came.
Yeah, you've gone through a lot of transformations, as has North Miami, but we'll talk about that in a minute. But, Matthew, you've run the gamut with your music.
Yeah, and I still do a little bit, but I definitely was a singer-songwriter playing in rock bands at different venues through the late 80s and 90s, and it was as I started playing traditional folk songs by myself that it kind of became apparent that the regular rock venues were not the place for me to do it. And that's when I was invited by Valerie Weiscracker to play at one of the monthly Folk Club of South Florida nights there in early 2000s. And that was my first time playing there. And right away I knew I had found a home for me and my music. Especially as we had people singing to, there was one voice I remember, you know, singing gruffly in the background and shouting, encore, encore. And I think
Tony Thomas
was
absolutely.
Yeah, I was like, whoa, this is different.
Alexis, you have open mics also. You must have some colorful regulars that come in for that.
We have an amazing amount of, it's a really nice community of musicians that come to the open mic. Robert Hands is our host and has been hosting for now 5 years. And he's also in a band called Wagner Hands and Flug that play on the last Friday of every month. Yeah, the open mics are great. Everybody shows up, anybody. We've had some amazing musicians and some poetry and comedians that bomb and some don't.
There's nothing worse than hearing a bad comedian.
You know,
you feel so sorry.
You feel so sorry for them. It's like, oh. Let's laugh.
Let's have a little music.
Oh. But there's no better place to bomb than
Lewiston.
It's a very supportive audience. You can get up there and do your thing. And
even with the jams are great because people are sitting around and just sharing time with each other. And it's a community. It really is. I really stress that. I love new people coming in, becoming part of that community. And it's not North Miami community. It's
your own.
It's my own community. It has really, it transcends North Miami. It could be anywhere, but it just happens to be in North Miami. People come from everywhere.
That area has had, it's gone through so many transitions and permutations, and it was like they had the art walks there for a while, and Mocha was thriving for a time. I mean, you've been through so many.
I've seen the changes.
Yeah.
And, you know, right now we're in a really interesting change with the furniture stores, and I have really great
antique stores.
Yeah, I have great friends. The people at Stripe are like one of my favorite, you know, people to go and hang out with in the afternoons when I'm sitting alone at the cafe and I'm like waiting for people to come. I'll just take a walk up the road, bring some coffee, you know, say hey to my friends up the road.
We're going to take a short break on the program in just a moment, but let's tell our listeners that if they'd like to view the proceedings here on today's Topical Currents, they can go to the WLRN Facebook page and see it live. It's being photographed as we speak.
Teresa Frontato is here with her camera.
So we're
actually
come back
why
and
don't
have
we
music.
Why don't we have a little music first? Do we have time?
Well,
let's listen to Jack.
You're in charge today. So
okay,
yeah.
I am. Okay, Jack Shawdy and Diane Ward are going to play a little tune for us. You can tell us what it is if you like, before
sure,
or
sure,
after.
Sure. This is a song that was written, co-written by Molly Bowers and I. She's up in Nashville, and it's a song we wrote for my publishing company, AbFab Artists, and it's a sweet little... Yeah, it'll be on the new album. AbFab said, yeah, you can put it on your new album.
This is Plugola Radio.
Okay, so and the new album is
ecstatic,
called...
Yeah, we don't know yet. So
ah!
Maybe your listeners can help us name the album, but this is a song called Sweetheart.
My favorite hour, sitting on the table in early sunrise, peeks through the window all sleepy eyed and smiles. In this moment so perfect, your colors take shape in the light. Watching you grow, crayons to canvas you draw from the sky, blue, green, and yellow, my heart in little hands. Tracing lines in the dirt, you find life in the earth, in the sand. I'm gonna miss your sweetheart. Great, unstoppable. Miss your sweetheart. Letting you go is impossible. Miss your sweetheart. The push and the pull, turning the page, the blue, black, and gold, hurt but not jaded, my one.
Diane Ward, who co-wrote that song with
Molly Bowers.
Molly Bowers and Jack Shawdee was on the guitar. Really gorgeous. Jack,
thank you very much.
How do you like playing with Diane, and who else do you play with?
Well,
yeah,
I've been playing with Diane for 21 years. We're working on our sixth album, so we've tolerated each other for, you know, over two decades. She's very talented, obviously, and we love it. We have a great relationship. Over the years, I've worked with all kinds of people, including Bob Dylan, Tom Petty, Ray Charles, Chuck Berry, Dr. John, John Mayall, Richie Havens. So,
and Diane's the best.
Diane's the best.
Without a doubt, the best.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
I want to know about Richie Havens. Forget Bob Dylan. That's great. And again, that song is going to be on a new album. Which is the production company? Is that Jack and Jack you produce?
Yeah, Jack and I are producing the new album. It's my sixth album.
Oh, my.
Yeah, and my publishing company out of Nashville, AbFab Artists, and that's their song. We wrote it for them, so.
That's great.
Excited, very, very excited.
Alexis, how do you find your musicians, and how do they find you?
Actually, everybody now just finds me. I don't look for anybody. I don't call anybody. I generally just fill my calendar by people calling me. It's amazing.
Just for one second. Let's just say this is Topical Currents. That's Alexis Sandfield. She's the owner and music director and proprietor, of Luna Star Cafe.
Dishwasher.
Luna Star Cafe, and her mother helps.
Window washer.
And we're also with Matthew Sabatella, Diane Ward, and Jack Shawdee. Matthew plays many, many, many instruments and specializes in folk, American heritage folk music. And Diane Ward is a singer-songwriter. Jack Shawdee is a guitarist of many different talents and many different guitars. Okay. How do you find them, and how do they find
them? They actually come and find me. I've had Spider John Kerner. I have had Mary Lou from France. I've had Kinky Friedman. Just recently. people just find this cafe through other people and call and schedule. It's amazing how many people play at Luna. Hardly anybody knows about it except for the people that are in the community.
Do you want that to change?
I would like for more light-minded people to come and enjoy the space, because it really is a very special place. You have musicians have passion. When they sing, it's it's not just getting up singing a bunch of cover tunes. It's people who have passion and they should be heard and listened to. Whereas other places you go to and people are so chatty and nobody actually listens to the words and nobody really cares in other places. You go to these places like Luna Star, which exist in New York, the coffee houses still exist. And you have a very few handful of places like this where people actually go and listen to the music, like you said. And
how do you see the role of live music in South Florida? Is it such a great challenge because of the things you're saying?
I think live music has a very limited space here in South Florida. I think it's becoming more, but in places that it's background music.
Let's bring in Matthew Sabatella. First of all, I neglected to say that Teresa Frontato has taken her time, and she's putting this on Facebook Live. It's on WLRN's Facebook page, so you can see today, in addition to hearing. Just none of us have hair and forgot our hair and makeup, lady. Okay.
You're
so
fantastic,
by
the way.
Where are we with Matthew? Matthew, that's very, isn't that unusual to go from rock and roll to folk? I mean, I've heard of it going the other way around, but
I don't know if it's unusual or not. That's definitely the journey I took, so.
We'll talk about that a little.
All right. Well, I mean, I grew up as the Beatles were my number one, and it was another band, the Byrds, that led me backwards, because they had an album called Sweetheart of the Rodeo, on which they were playing old country songs, and kind of, it was a new kind of country back then in like 1967, I think. And I did not like country music and didn't really know about folk music at the time, but I found myself loving this Sweetheart of the Rodeo. And I started looking into the songs that were on it and found out that there were older songs by the Louvin Brothers and Woody Guthrie, and there was a traditional song on there. So I started checking out the Louvin Brothers, and it kind of all led me backwards to the Anthology of American Folk Music.
Which Michael Stock, who's sitting in here, and thank you, Michael, overhearing the music, showed me this morning that Anthology of American Folk Music.
Yeah, that was what opened my ears and eyes to all the music from before the 20th century, and how it was really a continuum from the early settlers bringing their songs and ballads and fiddle tunes and dance tunes that developed here through the 1800s and into early country music and gospel and bluegrass on up into blues, rhythm and blues, and rock and roll. It was all kind of one, to my ears, that's the way I put the story together, that it all kind of led up to contemporary music.
Well, you have a great instrument sitting there. I mean, you have a few, but you have one that definitely gets the attention.
This is the what they call a mountain banjo.
No frets.
No frets, yeah. They banjos didn't have frets until, you know, the mid-19th century probably. But banjos are African instruments rooted in African gourd instruments. And so this is kind of a handmade banjo that, based on family designs from the late 19th century.
Can you show it to Teresa so she can get a great picture of it?
John Peterson is the maker. You can still find, you know, I kind of have a collection. I have a gourd banjo based on banjos from the late 1700s. I have a minstrel era banjo.
It's like a drum head is the vibration.
Yeah, well, that's basically what a banjo is, a drum with strings and so I just came down from the mountains. I was there for the last couple of weeks, so I kind of had this instrument in mind. And
it's a labor of love. You drove from West Virginia last night just to be here with Alexis and
15,
Diane and Jeff.
Yeah, it was my pleasure. I was glad to
It's farther
be
than Boca.
Yeah. I wouldn't do it. I didn't want to do it every day, but it's a nice, it's all right.
So what are you going to play for us?
I was going to play an old mountain tune called Darling Cora or Darling Corey or something in between.
Bonnie, are you dancing?
Go
saw darling Cora. She was sitting on the banks of the sea with a 44 around her and a banjo on her knee. Wake up, darling Cora. How can you sleep so sound? Highway robbers are coming, gonna tear your still house down. Go away, darling Cora, and bring to me my gun. I ain't no man for trouble, but trouble just now begun. I saw darling Cora had a 45 in her hand. Kill them revenue officers if they leave here with my man. Across the deep blue ocean, across the deep blue sea, go bring to me darling Cora, wherever she may be.
So great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd like to mention, I mean, that's typical of what makes Luna Star so great. I would say, like, there's not a lot of music venues in town where I can sit on a stage and play this instrument and that song and have people listen to it.
Haven't been on Power 96 either.
I mean, I have a band that has a lot of different stuff. We have fun stuff.
The Rambling String.
Yeah, and we do lively fun shows, and we play at different venues that can be lively and fun, and but at Luna Star we're able to kind of really stretch out with what we do more so than a lot of places.
Really, hats off to you, Alexis Sound.
It's back to the passion, you know. Yeah. It really is. It's a passion that musicians have, and they don't have a lot of places to really be themselves and do what they do best.
It's Topical Currents. We're speaking with the owner, founder, and everything of the Luna Star Cafe, Alexis Stanfield. Also with us, Matthew Sabatella, Jack Shaw D, and Diane Ward. We're going to take a short break. Also, remember, we're on Facebook, WLRN's Facebook page, Facebook Live. Teresa Frontato here with the camera. We'll take a short break. We'll be right back.
We return with today's Topical Currents, Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman. And we're talking about the Luna Star Cafe, 775 Northeast 125th Street in North Miami. Of course, we have its owner, Alexis Sandfield, and also Diane Ward, Jack Saudi, and Matthew Sabatella.
Okay. I want to, Alexis, talk about funding. That might be a difficult
funding
subject. But do you... Has it been a struggle in that regard? Do you get any grants from the state or the city?
I only got one small grant. And no, I haven't gotten any others. I got a $15,000 grant to renovate some floors and some bar build stuff, but nothing to help with the music or help bring more culture. I haven't gotten a cultural grant yet.
A cultural grant. Have you tried to?
I haven't. I haven't looked into the cultural grants.
Maybe you need someone to write some grant proposals for you.
That's always the thing, because I do everything, and I just don't have the...
I'm sure some are listening now.
Yes, I'm sure they are.
It's difficult, I believe.
Yeah.
I haven't tried, so...
No. Well, you're one person. Maybe Mom can start working on some grant proposals. Oh, I didn't know that was going to be that funny.
Yeah, she can't remember yesterday.
Okay. All right. I just want to describe, having been at Lunastar, I want to attest to the fine food, which is before all the music comes. Then it's such a welcoming and comfortable atmosphere. It's intimate. And there's this shared camaraderie among the patrons because everybody is there to listen to the music. So in spite of the friendliness and the openness and the lightness, there's this serious approach to the music, to its importance, to its uniqueness, and to its central role in bringing everyone together. So how do you see that culture?
As I say, it's a community. So people do come, and then it's really nice because after or before, people have the opportunity to meet and greet, and it's kind of like going to a concert, you know, where you're like a more of a theater thing.
Yeah, it is.
So you have like this area where you kind of meet everybody and greet, and then in the middle you can have conversations. That's how I see it. How it works is always up in the air, depending on how many people are there and what they're doing. And the situation.
Jack Shawdy, why do you like playing there? You've played with some pretty big names. Why do you go back to Lunastar?
Well, for all the reasons that you've already said, you know, I've played outdoor festivals with 50, 60,000 people. And you know, on a stage like that at night with the lights on the stage and it being dark out there, you literally can't see frequently more than, you know, 20 feet in front of you, and you see a few smiling faces out there with the reflection of the light. So been there, done that. It's very hard to get that feedback from the audience. In the Lunastar, which is the exact opposite of that, you know, the people literally are standing right in front of you, sitting right in front of you. You can tell pretty quickly whether you stink or not.
I don't think so. I mean, I'm sure you can, but I don't think that's the case.
I can and I have.
Okay,
me.
Okay. Diane,
yes.
You've been doing this for a long time. Mm-hmm. How have you seen the music industry change?
Well, the technology has changed it considerably. As far as the community, it's remained the same. You have to have a community of people willing to do the work, and a bar owner or a place like the Lunastar in Alexis to be willing to support the community. So that hasn't changed whatsoever. You still need those two elements to make it happen. But yeah, the technology is made it different. The streaming, the money isn't there like it used to be. As far as a songwriter is concerned, you know, our cuts are getting dwindled down and
so how do you survive?
You wait tables and you design websites and you do graphic design and yeah, you find your ways. Yeah, but you still do it. That's the whole thing. The passion, the music always
is above.
Trumps. You know, just comes first and foremost.
Because the technology has changed, it's a lot easier to put music out there.
Yeah.
But you know, music these days, buying music, paying for music, that income stream is disappearing. So live performing has become even more important now as a source of revenue, selling your product, attracting your audience. So
how do you survive, Jack?
Oh, I, you know, prostitute myself out on A1A every now and
then. Oh, come on. NPR here. Okay, Matthew, you have a job also.
Yes.
And that is?
Works with Jack.
I work for Miami-Dade County Public Schools in the Arts Department of Performing Arts, helping with the programming for arts education for our students.
And when we see those school board meetings, I understand Michael told me you're the one responsible for that.
Our department is our supervisor, performing arts supervisor, Bill Rainey, is primarily, but I'm often there helping out and helping to do that. Yep.
Susan wants to know if you're a for-profit business, you're not eligible for grants. Is that the case?
I am for-profit, apparently. But although I run it like a non-profit, being that there's no money in it, it's been running as a non-profit for 21 years.
That's except it doesn't, because
it doesn't have that stamp of non-profit. I need to get that.
Maybe
qualify for that.
Yeah.
You get grants for special programs and things.
I would love to get some.
And I'm thinking from the neighborhood of North Miami, because you've done so much. How has the neighborhood influenced you? How have you influenced the neighborhood?
You know, it's a cultural thing again. With the museum being across the street, I really wanted to be connected to that. And I have a lot of great artists that come across. I've met some amazing people through the museum. I thought there would be more of a community in that respect, and I find that the community isn't there as much as I would have liked it to have been with a relationship.
With MoCA,
with
you mean?
With MoCA, with being part of the whole community as a whole, you know. That's what I would have liked, but it is what it is.
Do we have Jack and Diane, like a short tune you can take us out with another break?
We can certainly do one, and we'd like to invite Matt to sing on this one a little bit.
Okay, great.
Matt and I go way back. He is actually a part of this first couple of albums, playing bass and singing, and a band called Voidville with me, and we go way back.
So we have a trio here.
Yes.
Yeah. This will be like a short version of the song, eh?
Early morning rain don't cloud my eyes. I need a perfect view. I keep the coffee warm by your request. And
Thanks so much. That
harmony.
It's gorgeous.
Haunting.
I love singing with
Jack Shaw D on guitar. Awesome. That's also Diane Ward on guitar and the singer-songwriter, and Matthew Sabatella with the vocals with Diane. We're going to take a short break on today's Topical Currents. We're also with Alexis Sandfield, the owner of where you can hear more of this, the Lunastar Cafe on 125th Street, lunastarcafe.com.
And we're back with today's Topical Currents, Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman. Bonnie, this is what makes doing this program so enjoyable.
Indeed, it does. I mean, really gratifying and just really wonderful.
We're talking about the Lunastar Cafe. We have its owner and musical director, Alexis Sandfield, with us, and also Diane Ward and Jack Shaw D and Matthew Sabatella doing some great performance for us. Alexis, you were talking a little bit about your relationship with between the artist as a owner of a small club and how you relate to them and not the business side of them, not their managers and such. Could you elaborate on
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely. I believe, you know, when I started this, I have always made it a point that I don't want to talk to anybody's manager. I just really want to talk to the musicians, and they do.
I have to remember that.
They call me, you know. When you want to play, don't send your manager to me, okay?
Joe does play a mean piano.
Oh, great.
No, I mean the people on the program.
I know.
So they, it's really nice to hear my musicians calling me, and they're friends. Some of them stay at my house. I mean, you know, they need a place to stay. They crash. I have an extra room, and everybody's welcome.
And they come back time and time again,
and it's amazing. You have Malcolm Holcomb, Spider John, Kinky Friedman. These people are just amazing people who play, and people come from around the world. I had a guy from Italy years ago that played at the cafe. He always wants to come back, but he just really can't afford it. You know, I have new musicians coming in. I just brought some new people from New York that came down, and they really like it. Now they're like living here half time, so they're playing a lot.
Do some of the open mics produce regulars?
Yeah, we have a lot of regular open micers. Some people come from New York to come for the open mic. Every so often they'll fly down just to be at the open mic. It's great. It's a wonderful community, as I say, and I think that's what brings people into the house.
And Matthew Sabatella, you want to add something?
Yeah, about that. It's really the people. I mean, from the people that run it, between Alexis, Keith, Joan, you know, all through the years, Rebecca, Monica, the servers. And the people that come there, it is like a big kind of family tree thing where there's a lot of roots and branches and twigs and leaves. But it's a very open one. Like if you, there's a place that's been, I've heard compared to Lunastar in another county. I've been there 10 times and I haven't met anyone there. If you go to Lunastar, someone's going to talk to you. I mean, if you want to be by yourself, I'm sure you can. But people generally reach out. If you sit at the bar, you know, you're going to meet some of the people. If not the people that work there, then you're going to start a conversation
somewhere. Maybe we can hear maybe a little more, around 3-minute selection or something like
from
that.
Matthew?
All right. I'm just going to do some kind of quick on-the-fly
medley. And what are you
medley.
Playing? You're playing a
I'm just playing
normal
a regular
guitar.
Old six-string acoustic guitar, but I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to string together a couple of songs that you might hear us play on any given night. I've been round this whole wide world, down to Memphis, Tennessee. Any old place I hang my hat seems like home to me. Don't let your deal go down. Let your deal go down. Don't let your deal down by the
red-eyed cows he saw plowing through the ragged sky.
Much talent in this room.
I hope no one heard me singing.
I was trying to avoid that myself. I'm like, I always want to.
That's another great Luna Star thing. The audience is always ready to sing with you.
Absolutely. There's a lot of sing-alongs that go along with this.
Well, Matthew Sabatella, Diane Ward, Jack Shaw D, and Alexis Sandfield is the owner of Luna Star Cafe and the music director.
The Songwriter's Night. Somebody wants to know about
Songwriter. Tell us about what's coming up. Give us some idea. And also, we're on Facebook Live, by the way. It will be up on the WLRN Facebook page, but we are on, and I forgot.
So you can hear the whole program.
So this week, we have the Nashville Singer-Songwriters Association. Would you like to expand on that since you are part of it?
Sure. Janet Goodman hosts the event the second Wednesday of every month. It's an incredible experience for songwriters at every level. You come in with a tune, you bring your lyrics so we can all look at them, and then you play the song for us, and we kind of give you our feedback on what we think, you know, the job that you've done, or how you can improve on it, or how great of a job you've done. We express that. It's, again, another community opportunity of music and a venue that supports it. And it's an amazing night. I recommend it highly to anybody who wants to come out and explore songwriting, because the feedback is just incredible. It's priceless and certainly worth the cost of admission of $5 if you're not a member, or if you are a member, you get to come in for free and get assessed.
And anything else coming up?
And I believe we have this week, we have a Wagner Hand and Flug. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I don't have my calendar in front of me.
So. We have to run.
Well, we can go to lunastarcafe.com and get all the details.
That. And we have jazz nights on the first, third, and fourth week. Every week we have jazz, except for the second.
Okay. Diane and I will be performing there with our band on Saturday, August 19th.
Okay.
And Friday, September 15th, the Rambling String Band.
Okay.
Fantastic.
Alexis Sandfield, the owner and proprietor of Luna Star Cafe, 21 years and counting, maintained its stellar reputation as a superior showcase for folk, blues, and a wide range of Americana artists. Diane Ward, one of Florida's most lauded singer-songwriters, numerous awards and recognition for her songwriting and vocals. Also guitarist Jack Shaw D, one of the Southeast's most in-demand performing and recording musicians and producer. Craftsman of the electric guitar, nylon string, and steel string acoustic guitar. He also plays the mandolin and more things. Matthew Sabatella brings to life music that's woven into the fabric of the United States as a singer, instrumentalist, recording artist, performer, speaker, writer, and content curator, among other things, and plays lots of instruments. He has the Rambling String Band and the Ballad of America albums and website. Thank you all so much.
Thank you very, very much.
Bonnie.
Thank you, Lauren.
Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Elisa Baer, for your assistance.
A program produced by Bonnie Berman, technical direction and online content producer Jason Zapka. He had a great mix for us today. Richard Ives is lead producer, Polly Landis, associate producer. Special help today from our colleague Michael Stock, Mr. South Florida Folk Music. Also, Teresa Frontado doing our Facebook Live camera work. Today's program profiles one of Miami-Dade's most important administrative figures. Twice a Miami-Dade County Manager, a Miami City Manager, a Miami-Dade School Superintendent, he's Merritt Stierheim, Mr. Everything.
Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman, thanks for making Public Radio your companion today. Stay tuned for Here and Now, next from NPR News.